Hallelujah. The king, he said, hey, wait a minute. Is there no baby being born here? That's where a king would be born. They said, well, all we know is that we have seen his star shining in the east. Come on. We have followed his star. Wise men. Wise men. Come on, folks. Wise men look for Jesus. Shepherds left their flocks by night. A king got so stirred up with the news of the birth of Jesus that in a few months' time, he sent out a decree to kill every child under 2 years. Because those wise men had made a believer out of him. I was telling somebody the other night, and I made my mind I was going to preach this sermon in all three places, in Savannah and Boston here, so I'm doing it. But the thing that really got to me is I was preaching the other night about this baby Jesus being born. Why, you know, when his mother went up and knocked, and they knocked on the door and said, we want to rent a room in the inn, the man said, there's no room in this inn. So we can't accommodate you. And Joseph said, but my wife with child, what are we going to do? He said, we'll take her around back to the stable. And around back they went. Come on, folks. And in that stable there were horses and cows and sheep. Come on. And jackasses. Yes, there was. And you know what? When Mary walked in, the jackass moved out of his stall. Come on, honey. Amen. The jackass had more sense than some of us folk had. Ah, yeah. The old jackass moved out of his stall and gave up his manger full of hay. Come on. So that Mary could make a bedroom and deliver the child. Jesus. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Lift up your hand and say praise the Lord. Jesus, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the pearl of great price, the rock of the weary land. Oh, Jesus, the Son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus, who was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity and chastised for our peace. And with his stripes we are healed. Jesus, who arose from the dead on the third day. In his hands he held the keys of death, hell, and the grave. His voice thundered when he said, I am he who was dead, but I'm alive, and behold, I live forevermore. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, who's sitting on the right hand of God Almighty, making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Jesus, who said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, for if I go away, I will come again. Oh, hallelujah. The beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Savior of the world. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. The rich young man said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? To sell what you have and give to the poor. Think of your cost and follow me. And the Bible said he went away because he had great possessions. Went away sorrowfully. Jesus said, you see how hard it's going to be? Don't you see what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to make us rich. False riches, but he's trying to make us rich. Because it's hard for a rich man to get saved. Not hard for God to save him, it's hard for him to get saved. Nothing's too hard for God. Huh? But you see, a rich man don't need anything, so he thinks. You see, the devil's done that. He's even prefabricated by starting a welfare program or an old age pension program. Come on. And puts just enough money in your hand so you say, well, at least I got a little bit. And then you'd have no faith. And we're living in a generation without faith. A generation of people who have left the faith and departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Oh, somebody say, help me, Lord. Would you give me a key right there, brother? I want to sing a song. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, Lord. Give us a revival in New York City. Lord, we're getting ready to start 1975. Everybody repeat after me. By God's grace, we will survive.
We will survive.
In 1975. Without God's grace, we will be in a fix in
1976.
And through God's grace, we just might be in heaven.
You might be in heaven.
In 1977. You know
what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear.
Received him not, but as many as received him, he gave power to become sons of God. Put those new ropes around Samson's hands, and she cried out, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. Well, he jumped right back up. Run out there and whoop them Philistines again. That's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to do. You might just as well get ready to snap them ropes. Don't shake your head no to me. I told you 1,001 times I'd do that. Amen. Hallelujah. She come back and said, Samson, you lied to me again. Samson said, look, if you take my hair and weave it in a web, said, I'll be just like any other man. She went and wove his hair into a web and took a beam off a pin out of a beam and put the beam, the pin through his hair into the beam, just like she almost hang him right by his hair. And she again went out and hollered, Samson, Philistines are upon you. Now, three times she did this, and three times she herself hollered about the Philistines. Come on. I'm going to show you the difference here in a minute. When she hollered this time, Samson got up, just walked right away with the pin and the beam. I mean, he just pulled that whole beam right with him. Went out there and whooped them Philistines again. She come in and she said, Samson, you sure playing with me? And finally the scripture says this, and Samson told her all his heart. He betrayed the very being of his being. He said, look, baby. He said, my secret is that I made a vow to God that I would never have my hair shaved. Isn't that strange? All of this time, Samson had run around with women. Come on. Had got drunk. Had lied. But strength was still there. He was still God. Never let him down. Only when he broke his vow
I was talking the other day about my family. He said, Brother Steele, you ought to try to get along with your family better. I said, I ain't going to do it. I said, you see, my family has made me make a choice between them and God, and there wasn't any choice. There just wasn't any. There just wasn't any. Why do you got to be on the road all the time? Why do you got to spend all that money preaching? Look at all Reverend Epley's got. He got that big home and that fancy car, and you got that old truck and live in his old house. Make the choice. Samson told with all of his heart. He said, my hair had never been shaven. She slipped out and got him sound asleep. Oh, the devil's sharp. She knew she could never cut his hair if he's awake. Come on, he'd never allowed it. That's why Jesus said, watch and pray always. Stay on your toes, Christians. Check out what's going on. Watch what's happening. Keep your eyes open. Be not ignorant of Satan's devices. He's out to get you. He goes around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He can't just jump on you when you're watching him. There's a bunch of dogs right by our church that chases everybody. And they'll bite you too. Yes, they will. And when I walk up there, I just keep my eyes on them. Curtis, he walks up there too. Just keep your eyes on them dogs. Don't turn your back to them now. Keep your eyes on them. That's the way you got to do with the devil. Got to keep your eyes on him. Watch what he's doing. He said, if you cut my hair, he said, I will become as any other man. I will be just as weak as he is, just as indecisive as he is, just as disturbed as he is. And she did it. She cut his hair. And here's the tragedy of it all right here. She said, Samson, the Philistine, she went out, she told you, this time we got him. She said, we got him this time. I know we got him now. We got him now, I know it. Said, he told me, she said, I could tell it was the truth from the word go. And when she got his hair cut, his head shaven, she said, Samson, Philistines upon you. He jumped up, shook himself. And the Bible said he went out to meet the Philistines because he didn't know. He didn't know that the power of God had left him. Huh? He didn't know that God wasn't with him anymore. He didn't know that. He thought it was going to be the same situation. Was he surprised? How many of us have been so surprised sometimes? We thought we was going to go out there and whoop the devil, and all of a sudden, boy, he was stronger than we was. Huh? Just backed us right up. I've often told people, don't you tangle with no demon-possessed person. I can remember I had a young man traveling with me some years ago, and he wanted to prove to everybody that he had more of God than I had. And we was over in Augusta, Georgia, in the Assembly of God meeting, and a little boy about that big committee is full of the devil. It's filled with the devil. And I just didn't feel at that particular time that I was in a position to cast that devil out. I wasn't afraid, but I was smart. And so I decided to leave the boy alone that night. I said to his mother, bring him back tomorrow night. This other young fellow, he, bless God, let's cast him out tonight. I said, leave him alone, brother. I walked out of the building, went over to my little house trailer. Next thing I heard him over there, come out, you devil! In the name of Jesus, come out, you devil! People told me that they had ended up on the floor, and he at first was on top of this little 13-year-old boy. But about 30 minutes later, they come running for me and said, Brother Steele, you better get over here, because the little boy was on top of him. That little boy was whooping the hell out of that preacher. 13 years old, brother. But that devil rose up in that boy and hollered, you can't cast me out! I never forget that. Because it was a very important thing, because when they came and got me, they finally came and got me, knocked on the door, said, Brother Steele, you better come back over here. That boy's going to kill Everett. They're going, he said, he's already got his hair all messed up and scratchy at his eyes and beat him on the head. Got his clothes half torn off and said, we ain't touching him. They scared him too. You think one little 13-year-old boy can't mess up a place? You don't know what you're talking about. And then we'll forget that.
I stepped out of the door of that house trailer. I said, I'm coming. And I was about 50 feet away from the church, and I could hear that boy holler. I heard that boy holler. Now, all the while he was hollering, I will not come out. You can't cast me out. I will not come out. You can't cast me out. Come on. Just as soon as I stepped out of the house trailer, here's what he said. He said, I'm going. I'm leaving. He said, Stan's coming, and I ain't messing with him. Come on, folks. Amen. Isn't that what the demon said to the seven sons of Sceva? Huh? They said, we adjure you by Paul, who by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of them. And those demons in that man said, I know Jesus, and I know Paul. I'm so glad that one day I was introduced to Jesus, and he introduced me to the devil. And he said, from now on, devil, you better listen to what Stare says, because if you don't do what he says, I'm going to come down here and whoop the hell out of you. Amen. And so when I step out there on the word of God, I do it in Jesus' name. Come on, folk. And behind me is all the power of heaven, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Oh, hallelujah. And I refuse to become just like any other man. I'm a hard man to live with, hard man to work for. People often say, how do you keep Curtis working for you? I said, because I tell him over and over again, I don't want him working for me. If he was working for me, he wouldn't last one day. I'm a hard man to work for. Here's a man as old as I am. He's traveling with me this week. And I have no complaints about telling him what to do. The other night in Boston, I said, hey, help get this stuff out of here. Didn't I tell you? I didn't say, would you please? Amen. When I wanted to play the guitar, I won't turn around and say, please. I said, get that guitar. Let's get with it. I'm a hard man to work with. Because I don't intend to be like, I have fought all my life against the traditions of churches. They were so afraid down in Soperton that I was going to overdo the money taken. Then when I got there, I didn't hardly take any money at all. Really shocked them half to death. They thought the first thing I was going to do was get out there and boom, boom, boom. If you just cut off my hair, I'll become just like any other person. Now, here's the most beautiful thing about the story of Samson. I was preaching some years ago on Samson in St. Louis, and there was a lady over there. She just got angry with me, and I had this radio broadcast on, and I was preaching about how Samson sinned. Now, can you imagine if Samson was living today? If Samson was living today, doing what he had done, most of us would call him the worst man that ever lived. He was a man who lived openly with a woman that didn't belong to him. A woman who he wasn't supposed to fool with at all. He was of another race. Another religion. Come on. And he was living openly with her. Why, if he would have been doing that today, Lord God have mercy, he would have gotten nowhere. He was a man who openly got drunk. Somebody said, yeah, you see what happened to Samson though, don't you? What happened to Samson happened because it was supposed to happen, and you better understand that. The will of God was working out in Samson's life, and Samson was a means by which God used. And if you want to find out what happened to Samson, you go to find out how he ended up, and then you'll know what happened to him. Somebody said, why, Brother Stair, he ended up being killed. Yeah, he might have ended up being killed, but you better mark this down. He ended up in the faith chapter. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Samson! That's where he ended up at! Again, we see a man strong in the flesh and strong in physical being. And God made him stronger, and then God made him nothing. And then God turned around and picked him up and took that nothing. Lord have mercy. Come on, folks. Took that nothing. They cut off his hair. They gouged out his eyes. Come on, folks. They bound his hands to a gristmill. And they send him going around in the circle. You see, this is why it is so important for you to get right with God once and for all. Even though they had cut off his hair and gored out his eye and bound his hand, come on, they could not destroy that which was inside of him. The Bible said, fear not the man who can destroy your Lazarus meal. And the devil's done that with a lot of Christians today. He's blinded our eyes until we see nothing. He's got us going around in a circle, grinding at the grist mill, round and around and accomplishing nothing. Come on, just going around and around. But you better mark this down. The day of our Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. Victory is going to abound. The church is going to arise. The saints will overcome. The blood-washed will be conquerors. Yes, sir. The Lord himself is going to come. One of the most blessed scriptures found in this particular story is the verse 22, I think it is. Verse 22, Reverend, you got it there. You got the story in the verse 22 where it says, starts out with saying, how be it? You got the story handy? No, I want it. The book of Judges. The book of Judges. Samson now at the meal. Come on, folk. He's down at the mill. His eyes are out. His hair's cut off. His hands are bound. He took the place of an oxen.
Howbeit
his hair
of his head
began to grow
again
after he was shaven. He reads very fast. There's two words there that you want to catch. And here they are. Howbeit his hair, here's the first word, began to grow. Here's the second word, again. Those two words, honey. Those two words make that verse of scripture so unlike any other scripture. His hair began. Oh, hallelujah. His hair began. Now, you see, Samson's strength wasn't in his long hair. But Samson's faith had been destroyed because he broke his vow. Come on, folk. Huh? And suddenly, when his hair was shaven, he walked around there. And he, in his own mind, he said to himself, God has left me. But God had never left him. Because God has made a promise. And that promise didn't only start in Christ. Because if it did start in Christ, then it began before the foundation of the world. Because Christ was before the foundation of the world. And the promise of God to you, whether you live right or live wrong, whether you are successful or unsuccessful, whether you live holy or unholy, the promise of God to you is, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. And lo, I am with you always. There ain't nothing you can do to change that promise. Somebody says, suppose I make my bed in hell. God said, you'll find me there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what's going to make heaven so wonderful? The presence of God. Do you know what's going to make hell so terrible? The presence of God. The thing that tormented the rich man more than anything else was not the flames. It says in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Oh, you ain't with me. Come on. He probably could have been long-suffered that flame. That was bad enough. But to have to look up every day down through the end of the age of eternity, come on, every day he walked out of his house and saw Lazarus and stepped over him. Come on. Now every time he looks up, he's going to see Lazarus. Come on, boy. Yes, he is. Every time he looks up, he's going to see Lazarus with his head in Abraham's bosom. Huh? Oh, hallelujah. Every time he saw him down here, he was laying in the dirt and his sores were being licked by the dogs. But when he looks up, he's going to see him laying with his head in Abraham's bosom. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm trying to tell you, it's the presence of God that makes life reality. Come on, folks. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Howbeit his hair began to grow again. Samson wandering around and around and around and around in his own mind. He thought, there is no God left me. God won't have nothing to do with me. But one day as he's walking, his eyes are gone. He can't see a thing. He is so absolutely harmless that they got a little boy watching him. Just a little boy. Little boy down there watching him. Every once in a while, he gets Samson a drink of water. See, the devil don't give us much credit today. You know, even because we Christians are so powerless. Come on. He don't even give us no mind. They're having a better time over there at the wedding than we are over here. Yeah, yourself. Go over there, listen to them. Go listen to them. They're having a better time over there than we are over here. Huh? They're doing that thing. Mm-hmm. Us Christians are groping around, feeling sorry for ourselves. Ain't that right, Brother Ray? Praise the Lord. Like the old Israelites said, I wish I was back in Egypt. At least I had the leeks and the gum. If I was out in the world, at least I could get drunk. At least I could go to a party. Maybe I could smoke some pot and get away from it all. But now I'm a Christian, I can't do none of that, so all I gotta do is endure on to the end. If I reach over and touch somebody, say, that old stairs a mess. You have to say it so loud. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Samson walking around there at that old grist mill. One day he says to the little boy, give me a glass of water. Little boy rocks over and says, here's your water, Samson. Now you got to mind, he can't see. His hands are tied so he can't feel nothing. Little boy says, here, Samson. He puts the water in Samson's mouth and Samson tilts his head back. Takes the drink. Little boy. Yes, Samson, you want some more water? No, little boy. But would you take your hand up there and wipe that thing off that's irritating the back of my neck there? Something's on my neck. And I want you, it's bothering me, little boy. Little boy, he learned to love Samson, see. So, okay, Samson, let me see. How's that, Samson? That get it? No? No, it's still there, little boy. It's itching me. Please move it away, little boy. Little boy, raise up. Samson, I don't find nothing up there. All I feel is your hair. My what, little boy? You Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you feel it? I'm going to say amen, huh? Hey! What is just one word. Hair. Because hair of Samson was his connection with God. Hair to Samson was his justification with God. Hair to Samson was his hand in his hand. Little boy said, Samson, your hair's growing. Your hair's growing. Lord, have mercy. Samson, I can hear him say, my hair, right then, hope. Hope. Hope came alive. Samson said, there's still life around here. He went back to pushing that old grist mill while the devil was getting ready to have the biggest party of his life. Day after day, the little boy would say, Samson, they're going to have a big get-together out there in the arena. He said, Samson, I've heard some bad stories. They tell me they're going to bring you out there and make fun of you and make sport of you. Oh, yeah. The devil thinks he's going to bring this church down. He thinks he's going to create a situation where and tops and valleys. Come on. High places and low places. Come on. Inside and outside. Come on, you can remember it. It's the end of this thing that's going to count. Yes. And the determination that you have to press on to the end is what's going to make the difference. And they brought old Samson out there. The crowd were jeering and hollering and screaming. Little boy leading Samson by the hand. I hear Samson say to his little boy, little boy, yes, Samson, what you want, Samson? He said, Samson, it's going to be my last day with you because when they get done with you, you ain't going to be here no more. He said, little boy, tell me, how is this building built? Well, he said, Samson, it's a great big round coliseum type building. He said, and the whole structure is held up by two big pillars right in the middle of it that this whole building is suspended on. Samson said, little boy, take me to those pillars. Lead me to those pillars. Oh, what a lesson we're learning here. You need somebody else to help you sometime, don't you? No matter how strong he was, he still had to have somebody, a little child, leading him. Come on. Got over there to those old pillars. He said, put my arms on them, son. Let my hands on them. And they said, hey, what's Samson going to do? Look at that nut. Huh?
Samson looks down at the little boy and says, little boy, now get out of here. Go on, son, leave. But Samson, I don't want to leave you. Go on, leave me, boy. And Samson prayed a prayer that, as far as I'm concerned, is the most powerful prayer ever uttered from the despairing heart of a man that you will ever hear. Samson, with no eyes, his hair shaggy, his back bent, he lifted up his face and he began to pray, Lord, remember me. God, do you remember me? Remember me, God? It's me, Samson. There was a time when Samson would walk out of the house and his muscles would burst with fire from heaven. Can you remember how there was times in your life when you could pray and joy would fill your soul and faith would burn like holy fire? But now you got to fight for even a little bit. Just a little joy now. You got to work it up almost. It used to be spontaneous. Come on, I can remember it used to be spontaneous. But now you got to work at it. You got to clap your hands, stomp your feet, sing a few songs, and push out everything in your mind to get just a little bit. But the church, in the next few years, is going to begin to pray the prayer of Samson. Lord, remember us! Remember me! And the Samson stood there, his head rolling back and forth, crying, oh God, remember me! All of a sudden, again, he felt the tickling of the hair on his shoulder. Oh, hallelujah. I don't know about you today. I don't feel too much of God's power right now. But I do feel the tickling of the hair on my shoulder. Hallelujah. I don't feel 200,000 watts of electricity. But I do feel the tingling of the current. God is not dead. He is still alive. I could not see the rays of the sun today. But I could feel its heat radiating from the earth. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I did not see where the breeze was coming from. But I see the rustling in the mulberry tree. I don't know where victory is coming, but I do believe it's going to come down up above my head. I hear music in the air. God is not dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You heard what I said. He's still alive. A way maker, a burden bearer, a shield and buckler, a high tower, a rock and a roomy land, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the good shepherd, the bright and the morning star, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the honey in the rock, the well of water, the fountain of water, the river of life, the high mountain, the low valley, the, oh hallelujah, the living God, the resurrected Savior, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Woo! Lord God Almighty. I wish I could sit down and listen to that man preach. Believe I'd get happy all by myself. His hair began to grow again. His hair began to grow again. His hair began to grow again. Hallelujah. When thou passest through the water, behold, I will be with thee. It will not overflow thee. We used to sing a song, some through the fire, some through the flood, some through great sorrow, but all through the blood. God leads his dear children along. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Why, in Genesis, he's the seed of the woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. Come on, folks. Amen. In Psalms, he's our shepherd. Oh, yes, he is. Amen. In Malachi, he's the son of righteous rising with healing in his wings. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy Ghost. In Corinthians, he's our sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the great God of eternal riches. In Philippians, he's the God who supplies all of our needs. In John, he is love. In Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. In Revelation, he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Ah, yes, the traveler who walks in the lonesome valley, he's the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. The
person, the orphan. He is the Father. Oh, hallelujah. He holds the keys of eternity in his hand. Somebody say, yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Wonderful Savior. Oh, I'm going through. I'm going through. I'll pay the price.
Whoa.
Whatever I'll do.
Yeah.
I'll take the wings.
Yeah.
With the Lord's anointed few.
Oh, yeah.
I started with Jesus. And I'm going through.
Around here? Oh, you know, have you ever told me your name? You never told me your name. You've been here 3 nights now, and you've never told me your name. Isn't that right? Have you ever told me her name? Are you sure? I don't remember you telling me.
No,
I was wondering what your name was. Now I know it's Nancy. Amen. Nancy, could you let your sister have the baby there just a moment? I want you to slip right out here to me just a second. Now, I'm going to say this much to you, Sister Nancy. I've been coming to New York a long time. This is the first meeting that you've come to our services. And so maybe that was the reason why the Lord had Elder Edmonds come along with me. So he could contact you and get you out here. Even though you love the Lord and you're serving him, there are greater things for people like you that can ever be found in some churches. Do you believe that? Huh? And God is going to do greater things. Your life ain't never going to be the same. Never going to be the same. You're going to have more faith than you ever had. You've been fighting it, fighting the fight of it, but you're going to have more faith. And some of the personal problems and anguishes and the heartaches you've been suffering, they're going to disappear because you have fought on. And God is going to do a new thing in your life. And just like you hear Ella Edmonds talk back at the time that he met me and how others, how their life was changed, it's going to happen to you too. Amen. You believe that? Amen. Your last name is a very strange name. It's not a very easy name. It almost sounds a little bit like Will Chamberlain, doesn't it? Chamberlain. Chamberlain, is that it? Amen. And the Lord would say to thee, my daughter Nancy, I have been molding thee into a vessel of honor. Yea, my child, the heartaches and the disappointments and the sufferings that thou hast felt along the way, these have been stepping stones to spiritual height. And yea, thou shalt know and understand, saith the Lord, that what I have called thee to do, yea, the anointing of faith and power that rests upon thee shall be sevenfold. For I have declared it, and strength and healing and blessing shall flow in
thy God hath said it this day, saith the Lord. Lift up your hands and say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Come on, let's worship God right now. Oh, wonderful Savior. Wonderful Jesus. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew
child, thou art higher in the faith than most of those that thou fellowship with.
With dreams and revelations and visions have I been dealing with thee. And I shall cause thee to become a leader of people. Yea, a rock in a weary land. A strength to my children. For the gift of faith shall be imparted unto thee. And thou shalt be strong in that faith, saith the Lord your God. Oh, hallelujah. Lift up your hand and say, praise the Lord. Did you hear that? The gift of faith. Oh, hallelujah. The gift of faith. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, what a mighty God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve.
I got up and I went into my bathroom and I got down on my knees and I looked up, and I said, Lord, what should I do? The voice of the Lord came through that bathroom so strongly. He said, I told you what to do. Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah, Jesus! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You know, I got that money. I put it in the envelope. I gave it to the man. And hallelujah, now you know I can say from that day 5 years ago,
in that back. You have arthritis of the spine. You have one or two pinched nerves. In fact, the arthritis is so bad in your spine that it's deteriorating some of the disc. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And that's why that pain becomes very excruciating. And it's not getting any better. The doctors can't do nothing for that. They might suggest operation, but I wouldn't go along with that at all. Because I've seen people operate on that disc and that's just it. Now, I'm telling you the truth. I am telling you the truth. The Lord can heal you today. He's a miracle-working God. The Bible said he spoke the word into existence. Huh? Your back hurting you now? Oh, I see. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand here in just a second, and I'm going to go into the Spirit. You understand? Are you listening to me? I'm going to go into the Spirit. I'm already in the Spirit, but I'm going to go into another realm of the Spirit. And when I do, the Lord's going to reveal a name to me. He's going to tell me a name. And I'm going to speak this name. Now, if this name means anything to you at all, anything. If this name means anything to you at all, when I say the name, I want you just to throw both your hands right up in the air and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing my body. Do you understand? And then after you do that, I want you to come out on that aisle and come on down here and give me a hug around the neck. Okay? Now, if this name don't mean anything to you, you just forget about it. Somebody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, the angel of healing. The miracles of God. He's got everybody's name. He knows where you live. He knows what your trouble is. Thank God he knows. I said, thank God he knows. Children of Israel were crying and praying down in Egypt. God sent a message down to Moses and said, I've heard their cry. I've seen their tears. He said, I know what they're going through. Does the name Pernella? Pernella.
could never. Honey.
Hallelujah. I can feel God. Come on, Sister Pernella. God bless your heart today. Just touch her, Jesus. Heal on this back. Yes, Lord. Just heal Sister Pernella right now in the name of Jesus. Praise God.
Thank you.
Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful?
Thank
you. Do you feel his presence? Huh? Bend around with me. Come on, move that back for me a little bit. Move that back. That's right. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody say yes, Lord. Lift up your hand and say yes. Yes. Come on and sing it. Yes. Come on, saints. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, sing it. Yes, 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 yes. Go ahead and praise it, Sister Pernella. Just go up and down that aisle and praise him. I wouldn't blame you one bit. Back been hurting you? Suffering with that disc trouble? Come here to me. I want to hear you talk about this. Come here, Sister Pernella. Come here. My. It what? It, you keep on shouting like, hey.
I'll hold that, honey. You
go ahead.
I've been suffering so much.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. The pain got so severe. It just got around here, and I thought it was getting up under my heart.
Uh-huh.
But I was praying.
You're praying?
Yes, I was praying, but I'm still... That mister back there.
Uh-huh.
And it came so close right around it.
Right there.
It started down here.
Uh-huh.
And it came on up. And Lord have mercy, late hours in the night.
Yeah.
I was calling on Jesus.
Calling on Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Was the day he called on you?
He called on you. Thank you.
Amen. Let me say something to you. Let me say something to you. Does the name Ehlers?
That's Pernella Ehlers.
Pernella Ehlers. Well, go in peace, Sister Pernella. Go in peace and let the Lord go with you. Everybody raise your hand and say, I love you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you praise him, saints? Come on, praise him with me right now.